بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد فقال الله تبارك وتعالى في شأن حبيب الكريم فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما درشف اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to gather once again in His masjid on the best of days, the best of times, and amongst the best of creation, the best of ummas, the ummah of Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we also thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us and allowing us to continue into a new year. For those of you who are unaware, the Islamic New Year began from the moment of Hijri, when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkah to Mukarrama to Medina to Munawwara. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this event is called the Hijra, and the Islamic calendar starts from this event. So back, it's when during the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, the Sahaba used to say to him that we used to read old books, and in those books they used to have the dates. And those dates were based off major events. For example, if there's a flood, they would say this took place a year after the flood, or 10 years after the flood, or 5 months after the flood. Like for example, we say the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his birth took place in the year of the elephant, Aamul Fil. This is how they would, you know, they'd remember dates using major events. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during his khilafat, people said that we need to make a new calendar. We need to start a new major event, or rather we need to base it off a major event. Some of the Sahaba suggested, let us begin from when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. That should be the starting point. Then some of the Sahaba suggested that no, let us start from where the first revelation took place, when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 40 years of age. Then Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he suggested that we should rather begin the calendar from when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkah to Makarama to Medina to Munawwara. And Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was happy with this answer, and this is where the Hijri started. And they took the month of Muharram al-Haram as the first month. And this month, Muharram al-Haram has just begun. Meaning just a few days ago, we cited the moon for Muharram. So the year 1445 of the Hijri has begun. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with a new year. Now, as time goes along, as time progresses, from the physical veiling of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from that point onwards, there was fitna. From that point onwards, there was fasad. From that point onwards, there were trials and tribulations that hit the earth. The Sahaba had to deal with many fitan. After the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, the Tabu Tabi'in, the other Muslims, they all have to deal with fitan in their times. And as time progresses, the intensity and the intensity of these fitan, the intensity of these tribulations increase. Day by day, hour by hour, these tribulations will increase up until you reach Yawm al-Qiyamah. So from the physical demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up until Yawm al-Qiyamah, the tribulation and trials will only increase. They're not going to go down. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned in a hadith that my ummah will be afflicted with the trials that all the other ummah were affected with. For example, some of the ummah, some of the nations, murder was widespread amongst them. And this ummah will also be affected with this. In some nations, adultery and zina was made popular. And this will now become popular in our day and age as well. In some nations before the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, misuse of alcohol and drugs, this was common. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that even this will affect our ummah. And it's mentioned that even if somebody from the previous nations was to commit zina with his mother on the street, then this will happen to my ummah as well. This is what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions. That even if somebody was to commit zina with their mother on the street, back in their own nations, if this was to happen, then even this my ummah would be affected with. So as time progresses, as we get closer towards Yawm al-Qiyamah, the tribulations will only increase. The fitan, the fitnas, you know, fitnas, fitan is the plural of fitna. So the fitan will only increase. And in today's day and age, we also see a misuse amongst Muslim youth, a massive misuse of drugs. Now you have pharmaceutical drugs, you have drugs which are medical. For example, paracetamol, or you have ibuprofen, or whatever else you have. These over-the-counter drugs, these are permissible for you to use in the state only if you need it. If you do, if you've got like a very light headache, if you've got a very light ache in your body somewhere else, you should avoid using these things. You should avoid using these medicines. If you're in extreme pain, for example, like you've got massive migraine or something else, then you can use these paracetamol and ibuprofen, whatever else you want to use. But there's another drug that affects the community even more than these drugs. Because these drugs, they will only affect your body, but they won't affect your mental state. Islam prohibits the use of drugs that affect your mental state. We call this khamar. In Arabic terminology, we say khamar. Khamar is the use. Khamar is the any substance which affects your mind, which affects your five senses. Whether it delays your senses, whether it blocks your senses completely, or it makes you lose your mind. For example, alcohol does this. If you drink alcohol, you lose your mind. You lose your senses. You have delayed reactions. So Islam prohibits alcohol. Islam says alcohol, khamar, is haram. Any hard drugs, class A drugs, class B drugs, the Islam also prohibits these as well. It is also prohibited. And we say this, and you mentioned this before as well. The Sharia comes to defend five things. One of these is hifzul jism and hifzul aql. Yeah, protection of the mind and protection of the body. So Islam will prevent you from taking alcohol. Islam will prevent you from drinking alcohol and taking drugs so that you may protect your body, so that you may protect your mind. This is what Islam is there for. Islam is there to protect you, not there to harm you. Islam will never harm you. Sharia is there to protect you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He said, when He revealed the Quran, and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when He gave any legislations and laws, this was there to protect you, not to harm anybody. So we should bear this in mind. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden something for us, whether we know the hikmah behind it or not, we shouldn't think about this. Rather, we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited this for me. It must be for good reason. This is it. And now in our streets today, what you find, you have youngsters who are taking balloons. Okay, for those of you who may be confused, what is balloons? They fill these balloons with a gas called nitrous oxide. Nitrous oxide is a gas, you fill it into the balloon, and they take it, they sip it from the balloon, or they breathe in through the balloon. This gas, firstly, it is haram to consume this. Completely impermissible. What are the effects of this drug? The first thing is, it will affect your mind. Scientists have done research on this. It's not me saying this, but scientists. They have said that this drug can cause memory loss, can cause infertility in men and women. Especially if a woman is pregnant and she's taking this drug, there's a high chance of miscarriage. And if a man is taking this drug when he's young, then there may be a chance that he'll never be able to have children in his life. Nitrous oxide, the balloons drug, okay? And this drug, you don't find on street dealers, you find in the corner shops. You can find in the supermarkets. So those of you who own shops, those of you who are shop owners, who are owners of markets or selling this, firstly, think to yourself, what's more important to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your deen, your religion, or is money more important to you? If money is more important to you, then do as you will. But if you favor your iman, if you want to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you care for your community, if you care for the youngsters in your community, if you care for your children, if you care for your parents, if you care for the families of your community, then you will stop selling this drug. You will stop selling these canisters. Firstly, another thing to mention, it is haram to sell this in the first place. Something which is haram to consume for you, it is haram to sell as well. A simple qaida for the Muslims to know. If something is haram, it is haram for you to buy it, it is haram for you to sell it, it is haram for you to do anything with this. You cannot give this to anybody either. For example, if you may have bought some haram chocolate or a haram sweet, for example, and you've realized it's haram now, you cannot go and sell this to somebody else, nor can you go and give this to anybody else. Even if it is a non-Muslim, that which is haram for you to consume, even though the non-Muslim doesn't follow Islam, is impermissible for us to sell it to them. This is also a qaida you must take into consideration. Okay, so back to this balloons thing. What happens down the streets, you have these youngsters in the cars taking these balloons, driving on the roads like a maniac, and then causing crashes. Their cars are totaled, written off. Families are affected. You know, when they crash their cars, they don't just crash into a lamppost. They crash into other cars as well. These other cars have children, mothers, fathers, daughters, sisters, brothers and sons that the cars are being crashed into. You are taking lives away. Just from a small moment of fun, you have now become a murderer. And we know what the sin of murder is. We spoke about this last week. The sin of murder. And this sin is one of the oldest sins in Islam. If you look in history, Qabil and Habil, we know the story of them, the first murder that took place in Islam. And from that point onwards, this sin has been one of the major sins from all of humanity. All the prophets, alayhi wasalam, taught their nations that murder is haram. Killing and slaughtering another, this is haram. It is completely impermissible. Every single Nabi taught this to their nations. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this to us as well. The Quran teaches this to us. The Quran teaches this to us. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also teaches this to us. To murder somebody is completely impermissible. It's haram. Not just because it is, not just because you're affecting the life of one person, you're taking his life away, but also the community at large is affected. Islam always takes this into consideration. And I mentioned the hadith last week. Al-mu'minu kal-bunyan. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Al-mu'minu kal-bunyan. And he, when the hadith mentions, then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, he put his hands together like this, he interlocked his fingers. Al-mu'minu kal-bunyan. The believers are like a building. They are like a building. If the foundation is strong, if you know the Muslims, think of yourself like a brick. Each of us is a brick in a building. If a few bricks were missing, or if some bricks were weaker than the others, the foundation of the building will collapse. The building will be destroyed. So as Muslims, we need to be the firm bricks in society. We need to be those who uphold morals and values, uphold the Islamic tradition within the society. If something is haram, then you take it as haram. You do not say, oh, you know, for a few moments it'll be fine. Or nobody needs to know about this. My parents won't know, my family won't know. It's only just us boys, we're just chilling, just a bit of fun. This is not the mentality you should have. As a Muslim, the foremost thing that should be on your mind is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your iman, your Islam. Once this is at the forefront, once this is the thing that you think about all the time, then I guarantee you that the issues that we have in society will be destroyed. The problems that we face in society, they'll be removed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us. And Allah says in the Quran that He will not change the state of a nation. He will not change the state of a community until every single individual begins to change themselves. If you change yourselves for the good, then the community will change for the good. If you make yourselves worse, if you change yourselves for the worse, you fall into these haram things. You begin to attack one another, you swear at one another, insult another brother, consuming drugs, selling drugs. If you begin to do these things, then the society is only going to get worse. And I mentioned this at the beginning, and I reiterate that as time moves forward, as you get closer and closer to Yawm al-Qiyamah, fitan will begin to increase. The tribulation will begin to increase. And the way to stay safe from these tribulations is to first regain your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regain your connection to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Recite the Quran in abundance. Recite salawat in abundance. The pious predecessors of the past, when there be tribulation in the cities, they would raise their hands in dua. They would recite the Quran. They would sit together and they would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only after these pious men gathered together, then their trials and tribulations would be lessened during that time period. And then once those pious predecessors left the world, then the tribulation began to increase again. So to prevent these tribulations in this area, especially in the area that we live in, because this is what is affecting us most. Yes, you have Muslims in Palestine, we have Muslims in China, we have Muslims in Kashmir, wherever they may be across the world, they are also suffering. And we as Muslims here, we also have a duty to them. But how are we going to change Palestine when our situation is like this right now? How are we thinking about changing Palestine and saving the Muslims in China when we can't even save ourselves here in Newham? Some food for thought. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May also accept what has been said today. And may Allah allow us to stay away from all the fitna of today. There's a few announcements to make, inshallah. The first one is that Salatul Fajr from tomorrow will be at 4:45 a.m. Inshallah, Salatul Fajr tomorrow, 4:45 a.m. And then also on every single day after Salatul Maghrib, you can start the donation as well. The donation bucket is coming around, inshallah. So do donate towards the masjid. Any loose change in your pockets. If you don't have loose change and you got your card, we've got a card machine. There's a card machine outside, so you can donate then, inshallah. So every single day after Salatul Maghrib, we have our 10 days of Muharram programs. There's a speech delivered in English and a speech delivered in Urdu. For those who understand either language, you can now attend and inshallah benefit from these bayanat. The topics are listed outside on the poster. If you want to see what topic is today, today will be about Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his justice, inshallah. So do come tonight to benefit from there. Also, today is Friday. So we know that every single Friday after Salatul Asr, we have another program led by another group of brothers. And this will also be for all the brothers and sisters, inshallah, for this program. And do attend to this. Finally, on Sunday, after Salatul Asr, the Arabic class will be continuing. So those who want to learn the language of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the language of the Quran, do attend on Sunday after Salatul Asr. Jazakumullah khair.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي فضل سيدنا ومولانا محمدا على العالمين جميعا وأقامه يوم القيامة للمذنبين متلوثين خطائنا الهالكين شفيعا فصلى الله تعالى وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى كل من هو محبوب ومرضي لدي صلاة تبقى وتدوم بدوام الملك الحي القيوم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فيا أيها المؤمنون رحمنا ورحمكم الله تعالى أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل في السر والإعلان عن النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم البر لا يبلى والذنب لا ينسى والديان لا يموت عيبا ما شئت كما تدين تدان فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات وذكر حكيم إنه تعالى ملك كريم جواد بر رؤوف رحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين لا سيما على أول بالتصديق أمين المؤمنين أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى أعد الأصحاب أمين المؤمنين عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى جميع القرآن أمين المؤمنين عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى أسد الله الغالب أمين المؤمنين أبي الحسن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى ابنه الكريمين شهيدين أبي محمد الحسن وأبي عبد الله الحسين رضي الله تعالى عنهما وعلى أمهما سيدة النساء البتول زهراء رضي الله تعالى عنها وعلينا معهم يا أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. اللهم انصر من نصر دين سيدنا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ربنا يا مولانا واجعلنا منهم. واخذل من خذل دين سيدنا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ربنا يا مولانا ولا تجعلنا منهم. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. ولذكر الله تعالى عالى وأولى وأجل وأهم وعظم وأكبر. عباد الله يرحمكم الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Please straighten your rows, ensure your sufuf are straight and that you are shoulder to shoulder. Ensure that there are no gaps or spaces in between or at the ends of your saf. Also please do ensure that your mobile phones are turned off or on silent. Jazakumullah khair. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله اللهم آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا حساب الميزان اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم تقبل منا ركوعنا وسجودنا وتعد كلها وصلاة هذه صلاة الجمعة مع جمعة المسلمين. اللهم عنا على تلاوة القرآن وذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم ارحمنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ارزقنا يا خير الرازقين. اللهم انصرنا يا خير الناصرين. اللهم انصر وارحم أهل فلسطين. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا خطايانا كلها يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك العافية وعلما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم اشفي مرضانا وارحم موتانا وارحم موتانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم نور قلوبنا بالإسلام. اللهم نور قلوبنا بالإيمان. اللهم نور قلوبنا بالقرآن. اللهم نور قلوبنا بحب حبيبك الكريم صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. يا رسول الله انظر حالنا، يا حبيب الله اسمع قالنا، إننا في بحر هم مغرق، خذ يدنا سهل لنا أشكالنا. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. ببركة إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معد الجود والكرم وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.